All right, everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Today is Friday, April the 22nd, the year 2022, and you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Been a minute, a few weeks since I made my last episode, but today we're going to cover four hot topics. Okay, what we got for you guys today is Cam Newton addresses his remarks about women last week in an 8-minute video. Biden sends $1.3 billion in military and economic aid to Ukraine. Mike Tyson has to put them paws on some foolish passenger on a JetBlue plane. And who really invented hockey? We're going to cover these four topics as soon as we come back from this short break. Holler at you guys in a minute. Peace. All right, everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. I'm going to jump right into our first bit of news. Cam Newton addresses his controversial remarks about women. All right. Last week, in a clip emerged of Cam Newton commenting on his viewpoint on the role of women. The remarks prompted widespread scrutiny, and for good reason. That's what this article says, but I'm gonna make my comments after this article. This article is by NBC. He defined a woman as handling her own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs. He also said that when a woman declares herself a boss bitch, the response is, but you can't cook. You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to be a man. All right. We got going on here. And today, which I did, I watched this eight minute video he made today concerning the comments, but we're going to go right on with the information we have here. Today, Newton has posted an 8-minute video regarding the comments. The full statement can be watched on, he has a channel on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. In fairness to Cam, we encourage you to watch all of it and come to your own conclusion. Now, at least this bit of news right here, this news organization is asking people to be objective and get the full spill of information and then come to your own conclusion. So I can respect them for that. Now, I looked at some remarks from the New York Post, and it was just the opposite of what I just read from NBC. Now, he went on to say, I've got three observations to make. First, Newton said his words were taken out of context, that phrase is commonly used as a vehicle for objecting to the isolation of one comments from a much broader collection of quotes, unless the isolation of the comments fundamentally alters its meaning. It has been taken out of context. For example, if I were to say, I know plenty of coaches, and when I ask them about Cam Newton as a player, some would say, I like Cam Newton, and some would say, I don't like Cam Newton, claiming that I said, I don't like Cam Newton, would amount to taking those words out of context. Second, Newton said that the controversial remarks were just as small piece of the broader conversation. When you're doing a podcast, Newton said, there's multiple topics that's being thrown at you at one time, like how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? Cam, how do you feel about your NFL career? Cam, how do you feel about being a father? You know, you have 7 kids. You have this and that. And it's being looked at like it's overwhelming to one hand, on one hand, but also it's like if you want to scrutinize and look at every single thing that I said, you can't just pick one line. So basically what happened, they picked, which most, a lot of news organizations do, for, you know, since sensationalized things, they'll pick one sentence and make a soundbite off of that rather than giving more information about the conversation. And at times that could have readers take what he actually said out of context, because everything he said about the subject wasn't revealed. This is just a small snippet of that conversation. Okay. Reading further. All right. However, unless those lines, when pulled from the totality amount of an inaccurate reflection of his opinion, they represent an accurate view of his thoughts. There's a chance that at some point during a lengthy interview, a moment or two of significance will spring out from the pack. That's what happened last week. Third, Newton wants his good deeds to be highlighted in the same way that his controversial remarks are. But that's not how it works for public figures. No one writes articles about celebrities who do what they're expected or required to do, which is true. The interest flows from words or actions that cut against what was anticipated, which is true. So it doesn't matter. If it's not controversial, people aren't going to read about it. So doing interviews, you know, they're going to take what you say that they can make news out of. That's usually taken out of context. Nothing Newton said today changes what he said last week. He's not being canceled for his prior comments. He's being scrutinized for them. He has a right to respond to the scrutiny. People may react to the response, and so on until the topic runs out of steam. So that's how it works. So this particular individual that wrote this little short piece, right, he was pretty much objective, like, to me, media people should be. He didn't form an opinion. He didn't give his opinion. He didn't make it about his opinion. He just gave the two-sided argument for what happened. So, my spiel is, Cam explained in his first interview that he came up in a traditional home where he had his 3 parents. He had his mother, father, and grandmother. It was a traditional home like many of us come from. Quite naturally, by today's standards, there are mostly single-parent homes when it comes to our Black children are being raised in mostly single-parent homes, because we don't embrace the values that we once embraced, I'll say, a generation ago. So his remarks got under the skin of those individuals that would consider themselves living by their family dynamic by modern standards, or what you would call modern standards, which is anything goes, where they may be reverse gender roles or no gender roles at all, and a bunch of other issues that I don't have time to cover in this episode. So he was just espousing off about the fact that some women by today's standards, they reject traditional gender roles in a relationship. So, men still look for a woman that may be somewhat modern, but has been raised to at least be able to boil water and cater to a man's needs. Of course, there has to be reciprocity, but that's not what I'm talking about at this moment. So a lot of women that were upset about Cam's comments, they consider themselves modern women, and they feel that they should be, you know, that should be welcomed, you know. But it goes like this. If a woman can't cook, not just for her husband, why would a man want to have offspring or kids, let's say kids, I won't say offspring, have or procreate with a woman that can't feed his children, can't fix a meal for his kids, because she's a boss bitch. That's what I got from what he said. And what he said when referring to our community, and, you know, a lot of people were chiming in from other communities, whatever, that they don't have our experience in America, so they would need to have a coconut smile and shut the fuck up. But if a man meets a woman and he has his shit together, she has hers together, and they're gonna be together and build a family, why would you want to be with a woman that only thing she could do for your children is microwave shit? She can't cook rice, beans, or some of the most simple things that you could cook, make gravy, rice, fried chicken, baked chicken, or whatever. So you're gonna pick a woman that's a boss bitch, but wants to eat out all the time and can't fix your children. So that's what goes through a man's mind. And that's what Cam was making his statement about. Okay, you're a boss bitch, but you can't cook. So it ain't just about a woman cooking for him. It's about a woman cooking for his kids. Why would you want to form a family with a woman who can't boil water? And I'm sorry, but that is an issue. Quite naturally, in a relationship, is, you know, at times men have to cook too, but a woman should not leave home without at least knowing how to cook. And to me, same thing for a man. Both my parents cook, both sets of my grandparents cook, and my mother made sure that her boys, which she had more boys than girls, 5 boys, 2 girls, that when we left home, we knew how to cook for ourselves. But at the same time, real men pick women not just based on having a big butt and a smile and she a boss bitch. There has to be more to it than that. And that's all I'm going to say for now. Once we return from the short break, we're going to cover our next bit of news, which is your president, Joe Biden, sending another $1.3 billion in military and economic aid to Ukraine. See you guys in a second. Peace. All right, when you're back home, we're listening to El Boogie. We're going to cover our next bit of news about your president. Biden announces another $1.3 billion in aid to Ukraine. Okay, U.S. will send another $800 million in military aid and $500 million in economic assistance to Ukraine. President Joe Biden announced Thursday during remarks on Russia and Ukraine at the White House. Okay, we're going to go over some key facts. The latest package will include $800 million in military aid, including dozens of howitzer artillery systems, 144,000 rounds of ammunition, tactical drones, Biden said. Additionally, Biden said the U.S. will send $500 million in emergency funding to the Ukrainian government to support government operations. Oh, so now we're propping their government up. Okay. Several outlets reported Tuesday a new aid package was in the works, and CNN and ABC News reported Thursday morning Biden planned to announce the package during his scheduled Thursday speech. All right. Last week, Biden announced a different $800 million package for Ukraine, including 18 howitzers and 300 switchable drones. The new aid comes amid Ukraine's plea for more advanced weaponry as Russia shifts the focus to its offensive to eastern Ukraine. Alrighty. It's on that bullshit. Okay. Alright. Alright, the military assistance unveiled Thursday is designed specifically to further augment Ukraine's ability to fight in the east and the Donbas region, Biden said. Okay. About $3.4 billion. That's how much aid the U.S. has provided to Ukraine since Russia launched its invasion in February 24th. Mm-hmm. Key background. Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, Javelin anti-tank missiles, Mi-17 helicopters, body armor, equipment protecting against chemical, biological, and nuclear attacks. Headline, the billions of dollars worth of aid the U.S. has given Ukraine. Biden said last week the new funding is designated directly to assist Ukraine in its defense of the Donbas region in the country's east. Okay. The first shipment of weapons from last week's assistance package arrived in Ukraine over the weekend, the Department of Defense said Wednesday. A crucial port city in Donbas is in danger of soon falling to Russian troops, and the Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed Thursday that Russian forces have already captured the city. However, Biden said Thursday there is no evidence Russia already captured the city. Okay. More than half of Americans believe Biden has been tough enough on Russia in the wake of its invasion, according to a poll conducted by the Associated Press Center for Public Affairs Research released Thursday. The poll also found a majority of Americans supported sending weapons to Ukraine. All right, that's that. I think I said this before. All these billions of dollars in aid and whatever they're doing for Ukraine could be used for the American people. They're suffering, but you have people in this country suffering as well. And it seems to me, when they have to do something for us, they have to fight about it in Congress and in the Senate, you know, and then the president gets to sign whatever they send. Whereas they're not fighting about it in the Congress and in the Senate. They're just sending the money and without question. So we're going to have to deal with them in November, you know, because they could be doing more for the American people as far as I'm concerned. Well, once we get back from this short break, we're going to cover Mike Tyson having put them paws on this foolish joker, messing with him while he's trying to get some rest on a JetBlue flight. Boy, 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 people will never learn until you go upside their head. So, we're going to cover this bit of news once we return back from the short break. I'll see y'all guys in a minute. Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on with Listen to El Boogie. Now we're going to cover, it's funny to me. We're going to cover our next bit of news. Video shows Mike Tyson pummeling plane passenger after apparent harassment. I looked at the video yesterday when the news broke. Tyson's sitting in his seat chilling, minding his own business. When this passenger, he got out of pocket, and I guess he had to get dealt with. So I'm going to give you guys a spill on it. Of course, I'm going to give you my short take on what happened. Video shows Mike Tyson pummeling plane passenger after apparent harassment. It appears harassing Mike Tyson and allegedly throwing a bottle at him is a very bad idea. He said, who knew? And he says, who knew? Because everybody knows that Mike Tyson don't mind putting his foot in your ass if you fucking with him. Okay. Video of the former heavyweight champion boxer pummeling a fellow passenger in a plane went viral Thursday, with TMZ reporting the incident to have taken place Wednesday night on a JetBlue flight from San Francisco International Airport to Florida. Tyson reportedly walked off the plane seconds after the confrontation. TMZ presents the video as a play in three acts. Passenger appearing to harass Tyson while sitting behind him. Tyson, in the middle of introducing said passenger to his fist, and the passenger seemingly making a mock pouty face while sporting some cuts on the side of his head. Okay. The video showed in its entirety of what happened. But TMZ claims a witness said the passenger was heavily intoxicated and wouldn't stop trying to goad Tyson after the boxer took a selfie with his friend. The man reportedly received medical attention and spoke with police after the incident. A San Francisco Police Department spokesperson told ESPN Mike Coppinger that he provided minimal details to the police and refused to cooperate with the investigation. Tyson's camp claimed the passenger had not only harassed Tyson, but threw a water bottle at him, per ESPN. Clown, it has been 17 years since Tyson's last professional boxing match, but the former champion has stayed active, most recently facing fellow champion Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition match in November of 2020. All right, that's that. I think I'm going to give you guys some bonus news after this. But come on, man. You know you can't mess with Mike. Mike don't mind busting your ass. You know you don't mess with Mike Tyson. And it's always some stupid white boy. I looked at the video, and you can see pictures, because people always got their phone out. He playing behind Mike Tyson's head while he sitting in the seat in front of him. That horseplay will get your ass beat. I guess he had to learn the hard way. Well, that's all I have to say about that. Once we return, I'm going to give you guys a bonus bit of news that's kind of interesting at the same time. See you guys in a second. Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on with Listen to El Boogie. This is our bonus news for you guys. Ron DeSantis officially ends Disney's special tax status in Florida. Ron DeSantis don't be playing. He playing with these jokes. Okay. Yeah. gonna do this. Okay. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs bill Friday terminating the Walt Disney's company special tax district that allows it to operate as a largely anonymous entity. Enacted in 1967 to attack the entertainment giant to Florida, the Reedy Creek Improvement District conferred to range of privileges, including control over police, fire units, as well as infrastructure management. So I assume that they just let them be their own town and, you know, have their own rules and police and whatnot. The absurd nixing of the arrangement came after Disney vocally objected to legislation DeSantis initiated that banned instruction related to gender identity and sexual orientation to kids in kindergarten through the third grade, which is good. They don't need to be learning about that and that young. So they just butthurt, and you want to be butthurt? Now he putting that thing on them. Okay. Supporters assert that it shields kids from inappropriately sexual material at a young age, which is good. Yep. Okay. But vocal critics, including top Disney brass, bashed it as a cruel attack on the LGBT community and doubled it to say, and they call the bill the Don't Say Gay bill or whatever. Okay. All these pop-ups. Bullshit. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that. Get out of here with that. Our goal as a company is for this law to be repealed by the legislature or struck down in the courts, and we remain committed to supporting the national and state organizations working to achieve that, Disney said after the bill was passed. Okay. Funny to me. DeSantis resumed his attack on the company just before signing the bill at a Friday press conference, asserting that the company was aiming to inject sexuality into its content. DeSantis said he was not comfortable having that type of agenda getting special treatment in his state. Quotes. So in other words, he said he ain't having it. That partnership that developed early on with Walt Disney, I don't think Walt would appreciate what's going on with this company right now. He said, I'm sorry. Y'all bees on that, they on that bullshit, okay? He also added that Disney's new standing would be subject to higher taxes. Damn. The controversial legislation is scheduled to take effect June of next year. With the special district dissolution, the Orlando theme park, one of Florida's biggest employers, would be subject to the governance of Orange and Osceola counties. Damn. Opened in 1971, the Orlando attraction employs about 77,000 people and is one of the most visited theme parks in the world. Damn. DeSantis, I totally agree with the law. kindergarten through third graders, they want to teach them about gender identity. I mean, what? That's bullshit. I totally agree with that bill. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I am independent. But I do not believe that children that age need to be learning about any kind of sex. You know, in that respect, I agree with traditional values, whereas a kid stays in a kid's place and learn about all that bullshit. It's not, you know, they have plenty of time for that. But teaching them in kindergarten, in first to third grade, yeah, I totally agree with the bill. Well, that's the end of this episode of Listen to L Boogie. I hope you guys were thoroughly informed. I enjoy bringing you guys the news. And I'll see you guys the next time God leaves his footprints in the sky. Try to love each other. I know it's hard, especially when you mess with Mike Tyson. I'll holler at y'all guys in another episode. Listen to L Boogie. I'll holler. Peace.